This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. Today's guest is Dr. Stephanie Teosia, a renowned board-certified plastic and reconstructive surgeon from Flower Mound, Texas, who serves the greater Dallas area. Dr. Teosia brings her extensive expertise to the topic of breast lift surgery and provides valuable insights into this popular procedure. In addition to explaining what a breast lift is and how it's performed, Dr. Teosia will address some of the most common concerns she hears from her patients. Topics include the impact of breastfeeding post-surgery, the necessity of a breast lift after implant removal, considerations for post-menopausal women, and the effects of smoking on surgical outcomes. Join Dr. Teosia today for a comprehensive discussion on achieving and maintaining beautiful results with breast lift surgery. And Dr. Teosia, great to have you back on the program.
Well, thank you for having me back.
Hey, you're more than welcome. Really do appreciate your time. So let's get right into this. What is a breast lift and how is it performed?
Okay. Well, a breast lift, in medical terms, we call it a mastopexy. It is a procedure that's performed in order to both enhance the breast shape and position on the chest wall. Unfortunately, the effects of gravity, pregnancy, weight loss, aging, and just good old genetics can result in sagging breasts, which we medically refer to as ptosis. So a breast lift procedure addresses these concerns by raising the breasts back into their assumed natural position on the chest wall and also reshaping the tissue to appear more rounder and firmer. It can be confusing. A lift is not a lift is not a lift is what I tell my patients, because the degree of sagging varies in patients. Sometimes the nipple areola complex just needs to be moved up slightly to be more positioned on the middle of the breast mound. And sometimes the whole breast has really drifted down and needs to be addressed. So incisions can be as small as an incision around the areola. I have patients who call it a donut scar. Around the areola and straight down, sometimes they refer to it as a lollipop, or around the areola, straight down and across the base of the breast if the breasts have really fallen. Also, I sometimes remove extra tissue on the side, and patients are very happy when that's gone. No one wants that. And the surgical procedure can be done in the office under local anesthesia if it's the simple incisions around the areola, but most commonly we go to the operating room and patients go to sleep under general anesthesia. Regardless, it is an outpatient procedure.
And that is a bonus for sure, and certainly do appreciate all the details. That is most helpful. Now tell me, should patients undergo a breast lift after the removal of their implants? And if they don't, will they be left sagging?
That's a great question. Whether patients should undergo a breast lift after removing their breast implants depends on their skin elasticity and their aesthetic goals. So factors play into the decision, such as the implant size, how long the patient has had the implants in place, whether or not they've been pregnant with the implants, and just age. They can all contribute to the extent of the sagging after the implants are removed. Unfortunately, it's sort of difficult to know whether or not patients are going to be happy with their breasts after implants are removed. I would say the vast majority of my patients do go ahead and get a lift performed during the same procedure.
Certainly some interesting and also helpful information for sure on that. Now, if a patient is postmenopausal and unhappy with the look of their breasts, is it too late for a breast lift?
Oh, no, definitely not. After menopause, women frequently have this complaint, and it can be related to changes in the breast tissue composition as well as collagen production. Reduced estrogen levels during menopause can lead to breast tissue changes. The breast tissue tends to become more fatty and less dense, and estrogen levels also impact collagen production. So collagen is a protein that's found in the skin. It provides elasticity, and the ability to stretch and recover. So as collagen production diminishes with the loss of estrogen, breasts do tend to sag. So for these reasons, postmenopausal women can be great candidates for a breast lift. I should mention on the other end of the spectrum, you know, I sometimes have women say, well, will I be able to breastfeed if I have a breast lift? And it's always a pause. I do recommend having these procedures after you have had your children, just because pregnancy and breastfeeding can really change the position and the shape of the breast. So yes, the answer is yes, that breast lift could impact the ability to breastfeed, but more than anything, I recommend for patients to wait until after they've had their children before having the surgery. And more than anything that's related to age, it's just patients' general health that you have to look at. So ideal candidates are non-smokers, they have stable weight, and they do not have significant underlying health conditions. So just like any surgical procedure I perform, patients undergo a thorough evaluation to ensure that they're a fit for both surgery and anesthesia.
Certainly do appreciate your visit once again. Always helpful information per your expertise. We're speaking with Dr. Stephanie Teosia, a distinguished board-certified plastic and reconstructive surgeon from Flower Mound, Texas, who serves patients in the Dallas area here on eHealth Radio's Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, Dr. Teosia, can patients who have quit smoking for 6 months undergo surgery, and how can smoking affect one's results?
Right. I mean, the answer is the longer you are off nicotine products, the less risks you have. I ask my patients who want breast lifts to stop all nicotine products for at least 6 months before undergoing surgery. And different plastic surgeons have different responses to that question. But the reason for my rationale is that nicotine, unfortunately, compromises circulation. It causes blood vessels to constrict, and that limits the amount of oxygen and nutrients that is being delivered to healing tissue. So without adequate blood flow, the body's ability to heal is compromised, and it can potentially lead to tissue death, which we call tissue necrosis. There's also an increased risk of both infection and developing blood clots if you are a smoker. So best advice is never to start, and hopefully quit sooner rather than later if you do.
And good advice right there for sure, no doubt. Now, lastly, what is the surgical process and recovery like for a breast lift? What can one expect here?
Patients have their initial consultation. Sometimes patients want to come back and have a secondary consultation, and that's no problem. Regardless, everyone has a preoperative visit 2 weeks prior to the procedure. During that visit, we talk about how to prepare patients for surgery, and that's in terms of both before and after the procedure. Patients do require preoperative testing at certain ages. So, for example, if someone is 50 years old, they would have blood work performed, they would have a urinalysis, and they would also have an EKG. If people have significant pre-existing health conditions, then we may ask for surgical clearance from their primary care physician or a cardiologist. Regardless, we are available during those 2 weeks prior to the procedure to answer any questions, make sure that patients are comfortable going into the procedure. Postoperatively, patients are seen a week afterwards where drains are often removed, and we discuss how to prepare for the healing process past the first week. I do ask my patients to wear a sports bra for compression, and that's really just to get the swelling to come down. And I want patients to be up and walking, but I don't want them to be performing vigorous activities for the first 2 to 3 weeks after the surgical procedure. We consider patients to be fully healed, you know, by 6 weeks, life goes on. Don't think too much about this. The only thing patients sometimes continue is scar therapy, and that's most commonly performed with silicone strips or gels.
Once again, Dr. Teosha, we want to thank you for joining us once again here on eHealth Radio. If listeners wanted to get more information on your practice there in Flower Mound, Texas, where's the best place online to get further details?
Yes. The good old-fashioned way is through the phone, which is 214-823-9652. Otherwise, we do have a HIPAA-compliant texting system. And so if patients prefer to text us, we are readily available. And you can just reach us through our website, which is www.drstephanieteosha.com.
Fantastic. Certainly a few ways to be in touch, and that's always convenient. Dr. Teosha, all the best, and we certainly look forward to our next conversation right here on eHealth Radio. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, you're more than welcome. Again, we've been speaking with Dr. Stephanie Teosha, Distinguished Board Certified Plastic and Reconstructive Surgeon from Flower Mound, Texas, who serves patients in the Dallas area. And once again, for all the details, visit drstephanieteosha.com. And this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.